Thank you so much for joining us for a sermoncoach.com podcast. Dr. David Maines is here with me. I'm Dean Wilson, and we're talking about helping pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, last visit, we looked at worship in a Sunday service. By way of review, how did worship relate to the pastor's sermon?
Well, we define worship as attributing worth to God. It can be defined more broadly than that, but I was trying to keep it in that area of praise. I actually used the alternative of saying it's paying God a compliment. This is what we like about you, God. And you can do that by yourself in private worship, but it's something else to come together with the congregation. And everybody agree, we like this about you, God, that you are giving, that you are good, that you are loving, that you are wise, that you are all-powerful. You're doing it in a corporate sense, and that's really nice. In fact, God, we have chosen our best singers, and they're going to sing to you a song that praises you because of your goodness or whatever. So that's the worship, the way I'm using the word. And that worship should, you know, it seems so obvious that I'm a little bit embarrassed even making the point, but that should connect somehow with the sermon that's being preached. So I always ask, and I ask one last question, what's the subject I'm working on, the response, the how to, the how long, and then I always add in there, if I'm preaching it at a sermon where I have some input into the service, what's the attribute of God I want people to praise? And then when I come, and this happened just recently, a very large church out in Santa Ana, California, I had sent ahead what I was going to preach, and that whole service was all coordinated with what I was going to preach. And I was so blown away. They said, that was a wonderful sermon. I said, sermon, nothing. That was a wonderful service. You know, so it was a very good feeling.
Good feeling indeed. I'd like to prompt you to talk about the whole service, not just the worship part, okay?
Dean, this I found from my experience, and I've done, I don't know how many hundreds and probably into the thousands, now to be real honest about it, of pastors' conferences. And it's very hard to do that because you get a group of pastors, 20, and they come from maybe 15 different backgrounds. And it's hard to get them to all see what you're talking about from their perspective. So I've found a little tool, and if I can share this, it might be helpful. I've said to them, let me put together three parts of a service. And I don't care if you're liturgical or free form or last minute or whatever. If we can agree to these three as far as a sample way to put a service together, at least we can talk about the subject. So I say, let's talk about the approach to God in worship. What are we going to praise him for? And then we're going to talk about God speaking through his written word, which is the scripture and the sermon. And there are other ways God can speak to us, okay? And then we'll have the rest of the service be the response of obedience. Now, people are listening to us, and I'm just going to go over those again. So we have the approach to God in worship, God speaking through his written word, and the response of obedience. If we can talk about those three, now, they could be changed around, whatever, but not in our conversation. We're going to say everybody's going to be on this same format, approach to God in worship, God speaking through his written word, response of obedience. Then at least we're able to communicate, and that's helpful to us. So if we can go by those rules to start with, I think we can make sense to our people as they're listening.
Okay. Where do we go? How do we put it together?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good. Let's reverse. I'll play the questionnaire role, and you play the answerer role. You're sitting up straight all of a sudden.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to give you an element of the service, and then you tell me what part this would fit in. I'm going to start with a simple one. There's usually, in almost all traditions, you have a scripture reading. I'm not talking about the pastor saying, this is my text, but there's an actual time when scripture is read. Some traditions will have read Old Testament passage, New Testament, Psalms, and the Gospels, and everyone stands for the Gospels and so on. Some places they just have a scripture reading, and it's once. Let's just pretend, to make it less complicated, we're going to have a scripture reading in this service. Now, I'm asking you the question, do you fit that in the approach to God in worship? Do you put it in God speaking through his written word, or do you put it in the response of obedience?
Well, I suppose the obvious place would be God speaking through his written word. But I can also think of cases where you could put the scripture reading as part of the approach to God in worship.
Okay, tell me how.
Well, for example, if I was going to have a reading from the psalm that was praising God for the specific attribute of God that I've chosen for worship that day,
good.
I could have that psalm read is a part of the approach to worship.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, good.
And likewise, if the scripture passage that I had chosen was it perhaps part of one of Paul's epistles that was encouraging the response of obedience to whatever subject I had chosen to preach on that day, I could have the scripture reading be a part of the response to obedience.
Yeah, so you're tracking exactly what I'm saying. Here's one that's a little bit tougher to deal with because, you know, scripture gives a lot of flexibility. What if you have a pastoral prayer? And by the pastoral prayer, where the minister brings before the Lord the needs of the people and so on. So you're going to have a pastoral prayer. Where would you put that in terms of the approach to God in worship, God speaking through his written word, or the response of obedience? Most of the time, let me presuppose what you're going to, most of the time is going to be in the first part of the service, which is probably the approach to God in worship, because that's just traditionally usually when it's placed.
Yeah, and yet in some ways, it's not, the pastoral prayer is not really a part of praising God for a specific attribute, unless a significant part of that pastoral prayer is in fact praying words of praise to God.
It could be that if you're praising God that he's the healer, you know, he's our healer, it could fit in there. And we bring our sick to you today, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's going to depend somewhat on the nature of the particular attribute. One of the things that's popping into my head as I think about this, though, is that so many churches have very rigid worship order of service. The pastoral prayer is always in the same place, and it's there year after year after year. It may need to be flexible enough to move around, because I can think of a situation after a particular theme has been preached, where we're looking for a response of obedience, that the pastoral prayer might be a prayer to help the members of the congregation be obedient.
Sure. Yeah, you're good. And so what's happening is, instead of being locked into something, we're saying, where does this fit? And why are we doing it that way? As opposed to saying, we've always done it that way and don't mess with the service.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, I can see that there's a comfort factor in always having the order of service the same, but you're also losing some of the creativity and the ability to be effective if you lock yourself in for no good reason to a particular order of service.
Let me give you another illustration. Almost always the choir is before the sermon. I mean, you always have the choir coming down before the sermon is preached. Could you ever see a time when the choir number would come after the sermon? It would be in the response of obedience as opposed to the approach to God in worship or God speaking through his written word.
Oh, yeah. As you say that, definitely. In the same sense that the pastor might pray for the people to assist them in obedience, I can see that the choir could sing a song that would be a call to obedience, or... and likewise, I could see the choir singing an anthem very early in the service if it was a particular choir anthem of praise for the attribute of God that had been selected for that day.
Yeah, and they could also sing in the opening or the middle part, God speaking through his written word. God speak to us today through the written word as our pastor opens, whatever the text of the choir number happens to be.
Yeah, and that's particularly true as I think of choir anthems. There's a lot of choir anthems that are based on psalms. And so if a psalm was the text for the day, principal text for the day, the choir could just as easily sing that psalm as people could read it, as long as the people in the service understood that that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're getting the idea. Everything is put together for a reason as to why it's done. This will throw you for a loop. What about the benediction? Could that fit in any of the three parts?
Well, that's a little tough. If in fact the benediction is going to be the closing word of blessing, if in fact the church is actually having the pastor speak a blessing over the congregation, but instead of saying the same blessing, same benediction week after week after week, the pastor could vary the nature of that benediction and tie it into the response to obedience. And and worded in such a way that it supported or reminded the congregation of the very how-tos that he was asking them through his sermon.
Sure. But I just was wanting to see if you were listening or not.
Apparently I was.
You were. Your grade is going up. You're at least...
I'm relieved.
Yeah, you're doing better. You're back up to honor roll now. I'll give you another one. This never changes, except rarely. What about a time of communion? Where would that fit?